Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Bridges to Business Radio.
Hello, it's Anne Revelle-Petcher on a very warm and sunny Friday afternoon after a terrible frigid deep freeze we had this week. I want to welcome everybody to the show today. We have two guests on Bridges to Business. We have a structural engineer, which is absolutely appropriate for bridges. I realize you're not a civil engineer. I get it. But I want to welcome Neil Andrew of Andrew Consulting Engineers. Hello, Neil.
Good morning or good afternoon. I'm sorry.
It's just fine. Time is timeless on the internet.
That's right.
And we're also welcoming Debbie Elliott, another person who helps build Wilmington, if you will. Hi, Debbie.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
I want to start our conversation today talking a little bit to Neil. Neil, tell us a little bit. I'm guessing that most of the people listening here don't really know what a structural engineer does. Can you tell me about that?
Sure, I'd love to. Structural engineers design the components that support a building, like columns and beams, the walls, the foundations. Our role includes designing buildings, bridges, piers.
Ah, you do bridges.
Yeah, we do. That's right. That's what a structural engineer does. As well as bulkheads and other elements like that. And our role in the design process to make sure the building can support the loads from people, but also to resist wind loads and earthquake loads.
Oh, wow.
Most of the time, the elements that we design are not visible due to interior finishes or exterior finishes, though.
So you're kind of in charge of the one making sure that it's all safe.
That's correct. That's the primary function of a structural engineer, is to ensure the safety of the public and of the contents of the building.
Great. Cool. So who are your customers then? Who actually hires you?
Well, traditionally, we work with architects.
Oh, okay.
However, we also do a lot of work directly with industry and municipalities. For example, the city of Wilmington has a lot of existing infrastructure that needs repair. It's an older city.
Sure.
And so a lot of the structural elements that have been built over the years are in need of repair. So we do a lot of work directly with the city of Wilmington would be another example. As well as sometimes working directly with homeowners who are building a house or a pier or a bulkhead to, you know, to support their property along the edge of the waterfront. So
I'm wondering, especially when I think about sort of retrofitting a building, any sort of structure, do you run into a lot of I want to say walls, but a lot of impediments to being able to do it? I think we're about to have the Historic Wilmington Foundation on the show in a week or two, and I've been thinking about sort of keeping that historic look and feel and all of the rules and regs that go with it. How does that impact what you do?
Well, primarily, we have to figure out what is indeed the structural part of an existing building first and foremost. Just because you see a wall separating one room from another does not necessarily mean that that wall is part of the structural framing for the house in this example. So
For those of us who've done our own sort of remodeling, that's the load-bearing wall is essentially what you're referring to. Is that right?
Exactly. Load-bearing walls are, you know, we treat them entirely differently than a non-load-bearing wall or what's also known as just a partition wall.
Okay.
So first and foremost, you have to determine what are the structural components and then either try to leave them alone or make sure that you account for that properly if you are going to make any adjustments to those.
Interesting. So the people who hire you, how do they actually work with you? What's that process like?
Well, typically, if you're talking about another design professional,
sure.
They will come to us with an idea or a client that says, for example, the city of Wilmington's building some new fire stations.
Oh.
So we're doing the structural design for the fire stations. And so the city says, you know, we want a fire station that'll have four bays for trucks, but we also want to have, obviously, the sleeping quarters for the firemen and the kitchen and the watch room and so forth. So, you know, there's a general plan of how all that stuff is going to be laid out, and then we get involved to determine, you know, how do we put a roof over top of this area? How do we support the wall framing, and how do we make sure that the fire trucks are have a slab thick enough for them to sit on and last for a long term.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. Well, it's interesting trying to think through that process. Would you come in at the beginning of the design before maybe an architect looks at the other, you know, beautiful elements, I guess? Or is it a process that you're hand in hand the whole time? How does that work?
We're involved from the very beginning because we have to give some input on what is feasible and or economical structurally. I mean, obviously everybody would love to have a building with no interior columns.
Sure.
and all glass all the way around. Everyone would love to do that. But unfortunately in our area, particularly with the wind loads in our area, that's just not feasible or economical. Mm-hmm. So we have to provide guidance early on and to give some feedback on, sure, you can do this. That would be more expensive. But if we could get a series of columns here, they would be, less of intrusive and still get the overall, desire that you're trying to get from the floor plan.
So you're working with the city on some fire stations. Where else can we sort of feel your work, if you will?
Well, we've done a lot of work sticking with the city Wilmington theme, several stretches of the Riverwalk, including one that's under construction right now. Mm-hmm. It's about 1,000 linear feet under construction now towards the north end of the riverfront. But also, just with Cape Fear Community College alone, we've designed the Nutt Street and the Hanover Street parking decks.
Oh, okay.
The Union Station building that just opened a few months ago. The Fine Arts building that's under construction now.
Wow.
We've also done over 50 projects with General Electric at their Castle Hayne facility, including new office buildings, several high technology laser labs for them.
Wow. And
then we also have done work, for example, we're doing repairs to Oak Island Beach Villas, which is a large condominium complex on the oceanfront down in Oak Island that it was in need of some exterior repairs.
That's not the one that was under construction for quite some time and then they didn't, the condos? Is that
that's a separate location.
Interesting. So you're obviously really connected to this town. How long have you been in Wilmington?
Well, I'm a native. I was born in New Hanover Hospital. So,
you are about as native as they get, huh?
That's right. So other than a few years where I lived in Raleigh and Atlanta pursuing college degrees, other than that, I've lived in Wilmington my entire life.
And so when did you start the firm?
I started the company almost 10 years ago to the date.
Ah, so you're going to have a birthday.
Yes, that's right.
So it's the anniversary. What are you going to celebrate? How are you going to celebrate?
Well, we've got several things planned. We'll do some simple stuff like a new temporary logo to add to correspondence.
Oh, good.
We're going to donate some money to some local organizations. And we're probably going to have a gathering or an event to thank our clients and our friends and family for supporting us during these 10 years. And we've got some other events planned too. We'll be working with, some other public relations campaigns with Debbie Ellett, our
Excellent.
Public relations manager.
Good. Well, I'm sure we'll get to that in just a minute. So actually in this environment, the last 10 years have not been all that friendly to businesses. And you obviously have to have a businessman's hat in order to be successful. What do you attribute your success to?
Well, when we first started, business was a little bit better than it was for the, during the 3-4 period stretch that we had a few years ago. Really a lot of hard work. If you're going to own and operate your own business, you have to wear a lot of hats and you have to be prepared to work long hours, particularly when times are not as good as they were for a period of time in the construction industry there. So, but fortunately, the business success really is due to my staff. They're some of the best people that I know of in our industry. I've got the same employees that I've had for many years now.
Wow.
Very little turnover, if any, in the past 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
So, that consistency of having the same people, they all know their specific roles and their strengths and weaknesses. And so we've learned how to work around those. And so really it's a true team effort.
Mm-hmm. What kind of roles do the staff play?
Well,
you have other engineers on staff, for example?
We have We have two other professional engineers. So we have another engineer that will be taking his PE exam here in the near future. So good luck to him with that.
Yeah.
But we also have what we call, what used to be called draftsmen are now called technicians, structural technicians in our example, that produce drawings using AutoCAD software or using 3D imaging software, as well as, you know, a construction observer that's kind of our person that spends most of the time out in the field of reviewing our projects that are as they're being built to help ensure compliance with what our design and drawings show.
Wow. That's a lot of really highly trained people.
It is.
Yeah. How do you foresee the next 10 years? Put your little cap on here and take a wizard's look at what your firm looks like 10 years from now. And what does Wilmington look like 10 years from now?
Well, as everyone who lives here knows, Wilmington has a lot of great things going for it. And so the city of Wilmington is going to continue to grow. There's no question about that. Hopefully it will be a more sustained growth pattern than what we may have witnessed 5 or 6 years ago. But, you know, as far as my firm is concerned, the only thing I'm concerned about is that we continue to improve. I'm not trying to grow to be the biggest company in town or have the fastest growth in town. My primary focus is to be the best engineer in town and to continue to improve on a daily basis. And as long as we continue to focus on improving and being the best that we can, then the future will take care of itself for us.
Well, you talk about improving. Obviously, you guys have a lot of kudos behind you. Does the industry change? Is this something you have to keep up with on a regular basis? What kinds of things are you going to be faced with over the next 10 years that are going to impact your growth and your success?
There is a significant change in the way engineering is being practiced versus 10, 15 years ago. Technology obviously is affecting everybody, and that's no different with structural engineers.
Yeah.
For example, just the software that we use for creating our analyses and our performing our calculations is just completely different than it was 10 years
really?
Ago. So
yeah.
much more advanced and user-friendly. And also in our world, we've gone from 15 years ago drawing blueprints by hand to now using computers to generate 3D realistic models of the buildings. And so we can take our 3D model and we can combine that with the 3D model from the mechanical engineer, the architect, the plumbing engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, you're building the building in the computer before anyone even shows up at the job site to then build it in real life.
Yeah,
so
that's really cool.
So that's really come a long way, and that's going to certainly drive our industry in the future. And then sustainability has really become a big issue in the construction industry.
That's good to hear.
You know, using better materials or more environmentally friendly materials, more that have less of an impact on the environment. And
yet are just as safe.
And just as safe.
Or more safe in some cases.
Or even better. And also improving the design of the building for insulation values and, you know, more efficient mechanical, you know, air conditioning systems and reduced use of water and so forth is really going to be, has really become a major factor in our industry and will continue to do so.
Well, I think about those kids right now, those Wolfpack kids up there in NC State, working on their initial engineering degree and listening to this and thinking, and then I think about those kids at Georgia Tech, of which, of course, I probably speak of way too much on this show. But what would you tell them if they're pursuing this industry, if they're pursuing structural engineering specifically, what would you tell them at this stage?
I would tell them that, number one, they have a very bright future because as our society continues to grow, as well as our infrastructure continues to get older, there's a lot of challenges that our society will have to face locally, regionally, you know, internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And engineers, by education and by training, are taught to solve problems. And so we've got a lot of significant problems to solve. And so I think engineers can play a very large role in that. And so
structurally and otherwise.
Structurally, civil, plumbing, mechanical, all types of engineering. Again, we're all taught and trained to solve problems, and so we can use that to our benefit as well as to the benefit of society as a whole to help solve some of these bigger problems. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times engineers are known for people that sit in their office and work hard and don't really get involved with the public as much as they should. And I think that this next generation really ought to look into getting more involved both with their local civic groups as well as with government groups as well to solve some of these problems like we're trained to do.
Before I switch over and talk to Debbie for a minute, I just want you to tell me some of the ways that your firm specifically has done just that. I do see that a lot of the students that are up and coming are much more involved in the community, and they try to figure out how to take what they're learning in the classroom and apply it not just to making money, but to actually making their society better. What is it that your firm does around the Wilmington area?
My firm strongly encourages all of our employees to get involved, you know, wherever they can locally. For example, just to name a few, we have some employees that that volunteer at soup kitchens, volunteer with the Boy Scouts. Mm. We have an employee that is a trustee for the hospital, mm-hmm. A commissioner with the Coastal Resources Commission, volunteer with the Building Code Council, a member of masonbird.org, and one of the board members for that local group. So those are just some examples of what some of the individual employees with our company do. The company also makes contributions on a yearly basis to other local charities, such as the Salvation Army, and donating scholarship money to Cape Fear Community College. Mm. And I'm a dog lover, so the company also likes to donate money to Canines for Service that trains service animals.
Nice.
You know, so we do. And another one, a couple of things I'd like to mention. Number one, we donate money to the Math Counts program, which is a math contest for local junior high students.
Oh,
and we also go into the classrooms and try to encourage students to get involved with science and technology education.
Strong supporter of STEM, I'm sure.
Right, exactly. And then we host prospective engineering students at our office so they can get an hour or two view of what happens inside an engineering firm. So those are some examples of what we do.
That's great. You know, obviously, Andrew Consulting Engineers is I don't want to get too corny here, but you are just very, very much part of the structure of what Wilmington is, and want to thank you very much for what you've done with the community. And that also leads me directly to talking with Debbie, because Debbie is in the public relations industry. And that's yet another one of those industries that is really kind of more behind the scenes, providing the structure. And Debbie's done so much to help Wilmington grow. So, Debbie, tell me a little bit about TALK.
TALK is a full-service public relations agency. I started TALK in January 1990, actually in Boston. I'm from North Carolina, but I lived in Boston for a number of years right out of college. And after working at an agency there for about 4.5 years, I thought, well, I'm going to try this on my own. Started my business there. Moved back to North Carolina in 1997, have been in Wilmington since. And we focus on public relations and also specialize in crisis and issues management.
Those are big. So from somebody who knows and has been there and done that, I can tell you she's decided to tackle the hardest part of public relations. Tell me why you would want to name a firm TALK when you really are involved in these issues.
That's a great question. I often tell my clients that I spend time either getting people to talk about their business or to stop talking about their business. And
you learn how to do the second one, I would like a lesson, please.
Well, it's often much more challenging to get people to stop talking about a business. The only time, of course, when we want that to happen is if they're talking negatively about a client of mine. But, you know, the core of what I do is communications. And communications has such an incredible impact on every business. It can grind a business to a halt in 24 hours or less. It can really sustain a business, grow a business. And I felt that when we were looking for a brand for the company, that name kept floating to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it really resonated with me and my staff. And I think it's resonated well with clients.
I wonder if you have ever gone back. This happened to me a couple weeks ago, and that's why I'm asking you. My mother pulled out an old report card from second grade, and it just kept saying, Ann talks too much, Ann talks too much. Every semester the report was, Ann talks too much. Were you ever accused of talking too much, Debbie?
Actually, a lot of people wouldn't believe this, but I was a very shy and quiet child.
Really?
Well,
that's why you know how so well to get your clients over that.
Yes, and you know, obviously I grew out of that, and what really got me, the experience that I had that taught me how to talk to anyone about anything was I sold books door-to-door in college.
Oh my goodness.
Over the summer, and I have to say that was a transformative event in my life, and I would encourage anyone who has the opportunity to do that. But no, I wasn't accused of over-talking then, but probably now.
You know, one of the things that I find when I talk to businesses about public relations and about communications, they don't really know what we do in this industry. They don't really know what it means to be in communications. They wonder, is that all about producing radio shows? They don't really know what it is. How do you describe this, and how do you really set yourself apart from other organizations?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I think even my mother sometimes still wonders what I do, and I've been doing this my entire career. I spend a great deal of time, frankly, educating clients and prospective clients about public relations and why it is important, and how communications can either grow your business or halt your business.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about communications and marketing, I often tell the story that I define a brand as what people say about you when you're not in the room.
Mm.
So that gets back to talk, that gets back to communications. And, you know, all of us here understand the power of word of mouth referrals and the buzz that, you know, gets discussed between individuals online and so forth, and how that impacts a business. As far as how talk differentiates itself from other public relations agencies, I really put an incredible amount of importance on strategic planning.
Uh-huh.
I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make in trying to grow their business is not planning on how to grow their business.
Absolutely.
And therefore, they make quick decisions. They will do one thing one month, another thing another month. It's
exactly.
Not consistent, and
exactly.
It doesn't have the type of momentum that it needs in order to truly succeed.
Sure. You talked a little bit about crisis communications and issues management. Talk to us about that a little bit. I'm not sure that everybody understands what you have to do in terms of crisis communication. They're very different issues, but crisis communications, maybe you can address that first. And
sure.
If somebody should have a crisis plan in place, when?
Crisis communications is kind of the holy grail of PR. What I found is that, you know, as you're coming up through the industry, it's intimidating to get involved in crisis communications because it can go very wrong very fast.
Uh-huh.
And the PR person can be a likely scapegoat if it goes wrong. but at the same time, crisis communications, when done well, when planned for, when executed properly, can truly save a company from imminent disaster. And that is one of the most gratifying things I've ever experienced in my career. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And since I've been working in crisis management for the past, you know, 6 to 8 years, it's been really satisfying to have a client come that's in the midst of a crisis that in many instances is beyond their control, and to be able to help them get through it and help them keep their company, keep their customers.
Right.
And often a crisis often has a silver lining and an opportunity.
So it's finding that silver lining.
To find the silver lining, take the opportunity when the spotlight is on you and turn that around into a positive. And that's what we're always trying to do.
Now, organizations that are thinking about this, they're probably saying, well, you know, I'm not BP. I'm not Tylenol. I don't have to worry about that. That's not going to happen in my firm. What do you have to say to them?
Well, I would say that surely any firm is vulnerable to a crisis and particularly to issues. Do you need a crisis plan as thorough as a large Fortune 500 company? Absolutely not. Do you need to be prepared for what your company is going to do when we do get that, Category 4 hurricane right. that we're bound to get one of these days?
One day.
How is that going to impact your company? Mm-hmm. It may not, but perhaps it will. Are you prepared for that? We have a university here. We have Cape Fear Community College. We've got a variety of manufacturers and other companies that are vulnerable to certain types of events that should they occur, it would have a real impact on the perception of that institution.
Absolutely.
And so one needs to be prepared.
And so how do you differentiate then the crisis communications from issues management?
That's a great question because they are altogether different.
Yeah.
Every single company has an issue. Now, your issue could be that you're a company that is trying to get a rezoning through the city or the county mm-hmm. in order for you to build your either a real estate development
facility, sure.
or a manufacturing facility. And you may have several permits in front of you that you need to obtain. You may have some nearby neighbors that don't truly understand the project and therefore may come out against it
or sure.
may be nervous about it. And what companies often fail to do is that they don't identify the issues that are looming on their horizon, and they don't get in front of them fast enough.
So part of this is thinking early.
You've got to think early, and you've got to be consistently looking for any potential threats.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to be proactive about mitigating them.
Right.
A crisis is an issue. First.
Right.
It only becomes a crisis when they ignored the issue.
Right.
And so, frankly, I really enjoy keeping very, very busy on issues management and hope that those clients that I assist with their issues don't have crises unless they're, a natural disaster or something that can't be foreseen. And issues management is truly something that affects each and every company out there.
Right.
We all have potential threats or issues to our company that may make us more vulnerable.
Sure. Or more profitable. Depending.
Or more profitable. Exactly. And again, it's all about communications. Human nature sometimes is that when you have a threat, you want to ignore it. And if I just ignore it, it's really not there. if I don't talk about it, maybe it won't come and hurt my company. And so that has often been what I've seen with client companies is that they tend to ignore things. They tend to think that it's not going to develop into anything. And the reality is that they often don't.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't give it some real hard thought
sure.
and be prepared and to start engaging those groups out there that could potentially threaten your company.
Now, Neil referred to the fact that he's a client of yours.
Yes.
Tell me about some of the other kinds of clients you have. You don't have to name them by company if you don't want, but give us a sense of the kinds of industries that your clients are
sure.
in.
Sure. Well, I have very deliberately never focused on one industry, that's really because my friends call me Curious George. I just have this great curiosity.
You get bored quickly.
Well, I don't know about that, but I really enjoy the learning about industries and learning about different clients, companies, and. My expertise is in public relations, and as long as I can communicate well with the client and learn about their industry and what their needs are, then I can certainly meet their needs. I have done work for everything from butterball turkeys to a buffalo farmer to real estate brokerage firms, both here and in other communities. I've worked with manufacturers. I've worked with engineering firms, jewelers, a wide range.
And so it also does include getting the message out, as I think about how you're probably going to work with Neil's firm.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we've talked a bit about crisis and issues management, but I do a lot of work with straightforward public relations and marketing in that, like Andrew Consulting Engineers, working with his firm to really promote the 10th anniversary year.
Mm-hmm.
As you've been talking, there's a wonderful story to be told about Neil's firm, in that structural engineering plays such an incredible, important role in our society, yet many people don't understand what a structural engineer does.
That's why I thought you guys were such a great pair to have on today, because nobody knows what PR does. Nobody understands what structural engineering does.
And it's a great story, and it's really exciting to me to think that their firm has played a really important role in a lot of landmarks in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And without their work, we would be a much less safe place. And whenever I have a pretty good nose for news as to what's going to be of interest to the media. And I am confident that there are some great story opportunities to be told about his firm and that industry in general.
That's going to be fun to watch. Hear a little bit more about Andrew Consulting Engineers from Talk. Tell me a little bit about the other things. You are everywhere I turn. Tell me a little bit about the other things you're involved with here in the Wilmington area.
Well, like Neil, I feel it's very important to give back to the community. And since I've been back in Wilmington since 1997, I've been very involved in a variety of organizations and been fortunate to have some board positions in these organizations, everything from Cameron Art Museum to the Historic Wilmington Foundation.
Great.
Today, my most active board memberships are with the Phoenix Employment Ministry.
Mm.
And
tell us what that is.
Phoenix Employment Ministry is a nonprofit here in Wilmington that works to help homeless and nearly homeless people find jobs.
That sounds challenging.
Yes, it is. But again, very gratifying. And our job hunters are sometimes people that have fallen on hard times for a variety of reasons. Some have had a history, in the prison system, some
mm-hmm.
not. And that, some have had, addiction problems. But what all of them have in common is that they really want to work.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot to contribute back to our community. They just need some assistance in coaching. Phoenix has done an excellent job over the years of really giving our clients a real hand up and helping them find good long-term work. I'm also a member of the board of the Thalian Association, which
is fun.
North Carolina's official community theater.
Woo-hoo!
Celebrated its 225th anniversary this year. And I'd like to give a shout out also to Cape Fear Community College. I was on the foundation board for 6 years, just rotated off. And that's another real passion of mine, is supporting education.
I have to say, so many of us who moved to Wilmington recently, and everybody's like, well, why did you choose Wilmington? And I say, well, we had a checklist. There had to be at least one major university. And we came here and we knew of UNCW. We didn't really know about Cape Fear Community College and what a big resource that is for this town.
I'm extremely proud of the community college, and I think that it's one of the greatest assets that we have. UNCW, of course, is an excellent asset as well. The community college, I think, is really near and dear to my heart, because I think that it gives a lot of people who, for one reason or another, either can't afford or may not be appropriate for them to go to the university, it gives them a wonderful opportunity to get educated and to get a great job.
Well, what about people who are studying to go into public relations now? Tell me what you would say to them. I know, like I do, you like to hire interns and kind of mentor and help them grow. What would you say to somebody who's still studying?
I've been consistently saying this for almost 30 years, and that is that if you want to go into public relations, you must learn how to write. and you have to love to write.
And in 140 characters or less at times.
Yes. Hopefully they can do that as well as long narrative. But writing is essential. I think that people who, and it's not something you're born with. It is a craft. It is something you can cultivate and practice. And I think good writers are good logical thinkers.
Absolutely.
And one goes hand in hand with the other. And I have found over the years that people who really like to write and develop that craft make excellent public relations professionals.
Excellent. You guys, this has been really fun. I've had a blast. Is there anything that I have not asked both of you, either of you, the two of you together, that you have some comments on that you want to make sure that the audience understands about your businesses or about the city or about what it's like to do business in the city?
Well, I will say that I'm very excited to have your business here.
Oh, thank you. I think we're excited to be here.
I think it's an excellent opportunity for business people to, again, come on the air and educate their clients and the community about what we do. Wilmington is a wonderful community. It's a growing community. We have our share of challenges.
Uh-huh. As every city does.
As every city does. I am, another passion of mine is economic development. I'd like to see more companies come and want to locate here in Wilmington.
Me too.
In order to thrive, we need a real diverse base of business, including manufacturing and industry. There's always going to be a viable part in our community. We have a long history, a very good history of industry in our community, and I'd like to make sure that that continues.
Excellent.
I would just like to add that I feel very fortunate to be a native of Wilmington and to be able to give back to the community with not only with the engineering work that we do, but what my company's employees give back to the community as well with their volunteer efforts.
And we're very grateful to have you here. If someone wants to talk to you a little bit more about what you do and maybe needs to talk to a structural engineer, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, they can go to our website at andrewengineers.com.
And that's Andrew with no S.
Andrew is singular. Engineers is plural. That's what I always tell people.
So repeat it again now that I've interrupted you, if you might.
You can go to andrewengineers.com. And you can reach us at 910-202-5555.
That's great. Thank you, Neil. And how about talk? If we need some advice, where do we go?
You can go to my website at www.talkinc.com. That's like short for Talk Incorporated, talkinc.com. You can also reach me at 910-471-3181.
Thank you, Debbie Elliott. Thank you, Neil Andrew.
Thank you.
This is Anne for Bridges to Business. Until next time.